Today's daf in Masechet Makot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKedesh, is daf tet, and we're holding on the third line down. Yesterday, if you recall, the Mishnah taught us that everybody's going on Yedei Yisrael, Yisrael is going on Yodam, Chutz mi al Yedei Ger Toshav. That should say Chutz mi Ger Toshav is the part of the Mishnah that is more meduyak, Chutz mi Ger Toshav, and that implies that we're excluding the Ger Toshav from the dinim of Golus completely. When it says that, it means that he is not Chayev, and others for killing him are not Chayev Golus. As far as what you would be Chayev, that's actually Machlokas Rishonim, whether there's a Chayev Misa B'Shogeg, if he kills B'Shogeg on a Ger Toshav or a Nakum, or that we don't kill him. But in any event, that's what we thought it meant, and then that implies that a Ger Toshav would be the same as an Ove Kochavim. But then the very next piece of the Mishnah says, Ema Seifa, Ger Toshav is Gola Ayedei Ger Toshav. So then that would mean that there is a din of Golas that applies to Ger Toshav, and he's not the same as an Akum. Omer of Kahana, correct. That's exactly the point. That kan beger toshav shara ger toshav. We're not saying that there is no din. The Mishnah explained itself. If a ger toshav kills another ger toshav, so then there's a chiyuv of golus on him. Basha inkein, the first part of the Mishnah, it says that there is not a din. The chutz beger toshav meant that in terms of hakol golim al yedei Yisrael, that is not so about a ger toshav. And if a Ger Toshav kills a Ben Yisrael, so then it's too chomor for him to get a kapora through Golos. And because of that, there would be no din. As far as what is the din, as I mentioned before, this is a big machlokas. The Ramban says he isn't killed. Some medayik that in the Rambam. Others learn that he's killed a filo b'shogeg. And we'll see through the sugya as we go on. Ika, now some start this whole discussion in terms of the actual psukim. So what Rav Kahana said, that there's a difference between the Ger Toshav Shahara Yisrael, the Ger Toshav Shahara Ger Toshav, didn't come from a Mishnah, but that actually Rav Kahana answered the psukim this way. So Ika de Rami Kroya, they started with a stira in the pasuk. On the one hand, it says, Livnei Yisrael, Vela ger vela toshav bitocham tiyena sheish arim ha'elu v'miklat. So I don't understand. It says beferish. There's no way to avoid that. It says sheish arim ha'elu l'miklat lanus shama kol make nefesh bishkaga. You can't get more clear than that. And this is meant for a toshav as well, not only to real Bnei Yisrael and real gerim. But on the other hand, gosh, the pasuk says, "Ve'ayu lachem he'arim lemiklat." Now, lachem seems to be saying not to a ger toshav. So how do you explain the psukim? And in this version, Rav Kahana's explanation went directly on the pasuk. Om Rav Kahana lo kasha. The case where the Torah says that these sheish arim ha'ele are meant to be lemiklat for you and for the toshav, Tiena Shesharima Ele, that's referring to a Ger Toshav, Shahara Ger Toshav. Masha Enkin, where it says Lachem, that's talking about a Ger Toshav, Shaharag Yisrael. The first pasuk was talking about Ger Toshav, Shaharag Ger Toshav. But wait a minute, what about this Braita? Vramini. Here we have a Braita, which is also complete steer to what it says in the Mishnah, that a Ger Toshav is killed for killing by Shogeg another Ger Toshav. The Braita says like this, that Lefichach, there it's continuing on with the Halacha, that you do not need Hatra'ah for a Goy. So the din of a Goy that's over one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Nayach, which includes a Ger Toshav, is that he would be Chayev without are knowing that he did it b'mezid, which normally would be a totsah, of giving him hatra'ah. But since there's no din of hatra'ah, continues on the Brayta to say, Lefichach a ger toshav, or an oved kochavim, that were horeg would be neheragin, because since they don't need hatra'a, so then that would be the equivalent of Adam muad li'olam. And if Adam is muad li'olam, so then in the same way he would be chayiv to pay for damages, he would be chayiv to be killed for misa. That's how Rashi understands it. Now it's here that the Ramban says that it's not possible to say this, because the din of hatra'ah, in terms of judicial procedure, prevents Bezdin from ever giving misa unless it's clear that it was done b'mezid. So it's true he doesn't need the type of hatra'ah, which is exeris hakosov, that without hatra'ah, without kabbalat hatra'ah, you're not chayev. That does not apply. But that we need to know that he was a mezid, that definitely does apply. And that's the mashmos of the Rambam as well. So fine. In this stage of the Gemara, it seems to be that we're taking for granted Rashi's approach. We'll see at the end that over there, it could very well be that Rashi himself doesn't maintain his approach and agrees with the Ramban and the Rambam. But let's see how the sugya develops. Now, here, the Braita puts together the ger and says he has the same din as the Oved Kochavim, because he says, ger ve'Oved Kochavim shahorgu neharagin. Now look, at Oved Kochavim, if in the case where he would be chayev misa, it makes no difference whether he killed another goy or whether he killed a Yisrael. Lo shna dekato bar mineh, lo shna dekato lav bar mineh. A goy is always neharag. It makes no difference who it was that he murdered. Then that implies that the ger toshav would be the same. Lo shna dekato bar mineh, whether he killed another ger toshav or whether he killed a Yisrael, the lav bar mineh, not his own type, he would still be neharag. So we see clearly the Gemara is assuming Rashi's approach over here, that if he's not going to be chayev golas, so then he would be neharag. But our Mishnah says that no, if he kills another ger toshav, that he would go into golas. So how do you explain that? Amrav chista lokasha. It depends whether there was a chiyev of golas. In the Mishnah that says that he would go into golas for killing b'shogeg, that's referring to a case where there is a chiyev of golas, namely, that it was derech yirida. Remember that the first Mishnah in our perek made it very clear from the word of la pilalav, that it's only if things are going downwards. Mashenkein, if things are going upwards, and he was arago derech aliyah, so then he would not be chayev golas, and therefore he is chayev misa. Now, obviously, that means that Rav Chista holds that in the question that we had earlier about whether derech aliyah is potter because it's korev lemezid, or whether derech aliyah is potter because it's korev leones, he obviously holds the approach that it's korev lemezid, and therefore he's more chomor, and he is killed. Masha Inkain, if he killed Derech Yerida, where the din would be that Yisrael that killed Derech Yerida would go into Galut, Iyunami Sagile Begalut. So that's enough for him to go into Galut. Masha Inkain, Derech Aliyah, where the Yisrael is Potter because it's too Chomor, according to Rav Chista. So then, who Neherag? So Rav Chista obviously holds like the Shita that thinks that it's Korov Lemezid. We'll soon see that earlier machlokas becomes clear over here as well, because Rava disagrees with Rav Chista. According to the box of Girsis Rab, the Lavka v'chomeru, if Derech Yerida, where Yisrael goes into Golos, it's good enough to give the Ger Toshav Golos. Derech Aliyah, where Yisrael is Potter, so does it make sense that he should be killed? So therefore, Rabbah is clearly saying that he disagrees fundamentally and with Rav Chista. He holds that it's korov actually la'ones if you're going upwards, and it's more reason to be potter. Therefore, he makes a kal v'chomer in the opposite direction. And since that's a shita, you can't explain the braita by saying that we're going to kill the ger toshav in the event that it was more kal. So how do you explain it? Elo Omar Rabbah, It's not talking about where it's up there, Carl. It's talking about that the accident was that he thought it was Mutter to kill. That was the point. And we explained that before. It could be this guy is a mafioso. It could be that this guy is a danger to society, whatever it is. He thought that it was a mitzvah to kill him or whatever. And that's called an Omer Mutter. Said Abaye, the same way we had the machlokas before. An Omer Mutter is an onus. He can't be responsible for something that he had no way of knowing. And therefore, why would we kill him? On the contrary, that's more of an onus. And of course, Rabba said what he said before in the perek, namely, Ani Omer, Omer Mutter Karov L'mezid Hu, for not finding out what you were supposed to know, that is Karov L'mezid. And ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Okay, so that means we've got a fundamental machlokas over here about two things, Rav Chisda and Rava, if we get Goris Rava. One is, what is Derech Aliyah Potter for? Is it because it's Karav L'mezid or Karav L'onus? And the other is, what is the din of an Omer Mutter? Is it considered to be Karav L'onus or is it considered to be a Mezid? Now, we know that Rav Chisda and Rava actually have had this machlokas somewhere else, because Ozu L'tamayo, the Itmar. If somebody, here we're talking about the Ger Toshav, he thought that the person that he was shooting was actually a deer, classic hunter deer mistake. So he shoots the deer and it turns out to be a person. Kasavur Be'ema V'nimtza Adam. Or he thought that he was shooting a Knani, and it turned out he shot a Ger Toshav. So Rava says, in that case, he's chayev. Why? Because he needed to find out the facts. So it's the same as an Omer Mutter. I thought it was okay because what? Because you didn't bother to find out the facts. You didn't bother to find out that it's a deer. You just assumed it's a deer. That's an Omer Mutter, and I say you'd be chayev in that case, because that is an Omer Mutter equivalent, and therefore it's a Karav L'mezid, and because of that he would be chayev. Whereas Rav Chisda, here L'shitato, says, well, if the person thought that it was Mutter, he's not chayev for not finding out better, and therefore is an Omer Mutter equivalent, of course it means, and he's an onus. So, Esvei Ravel or Chisda, I'm going to prove to you from the Chumash and the story of Avram Avinu and Avimelech in Gerar, I'm going to prove to you that an Omer Mutter is Chayef. Okay? What happened over here? Avimelech takes Sarah and he's going to sleep with her because he's convinced that since Avram and everybody around told him that, no, she's not married to him, she is his sister. So he thought that he was allowed to sleep with her. And what happens? He has this dream, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him in the dream and says, you is dead meat, buddy. Incha meit ala isha asher lakachta. Okay, you're dead. Now, what do you mean you're dead? That you're chayev misa. I mean, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him you're dead, then the pashtus is that he has a din of someone who's supposed to die in the Besdin, and he ought to be killed. So you see that Avimelech was responsible for not finding out the truth. He thought it was Mutter, and it wasn't Mutter, and that proves why my contention, says Rava, that an Omer Mutter is Chayev. As a matter of fact, I've got very good shitas on my side. I count God as number one, agreeing with me. Says Rav Chisda, why do you say that? Maybe when it says in Chameit, it means you're dead meat because you're Chayev Misa Bidei Shamayim. How do you know that it means specifically in court? Bidei Shamayim is oftentimes more chomer. But that doesn't mean that a Besdin would have had the right to kill you. And therefore, maybe you're still not correct, Rava, when you say that an Omer Mutter is Chayev Bidinei Adam. And as a matter of fact, it seems quite clear that I am correct. Look at the pasuk and tell me what that pasuk means and see if I'm not correct. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him Look, I know that you're an Omer Mutter. I know that you did this in thinking that it was Mutter. And I helped you by making it impossible for you to copulate. I helped you by preventing you from sinning to me. What do you mean to me? Why only to me? Because it would only be a chiyuv bidei shamayim. That's the point. So since it's saying you're sinning to me, he's bedafka making the point here in the pasuk that the chiyuv was only a chiyuv bidei shamayim, which, says Rav Chisda, proves me. Says Rav, excuse me? What, just because sinning to me, that means only to me? And how do you understand the pasuk about Yosef and the conversation that he has with Eshes Potiphera, who's trying to get him to sleep with her, and he says to her, v'chatati l'Elohim. Now, what is that supposed to mean, v'chatati l'Elohim? It's only a sin to God? I mean, she's a complete and total Eshes Ish, and he knows perfectly well that she is married to Potiphar. So he certainly doesn't mean I'm only sinning to God. He's saying this is a great sin to God. It certainly doesn't mean l'Elohim v'lo l'Adam. Is that what you're saying? Ela, it's a sin to God, but dino masur l'Adam. As far as carrying out the chiyuv misa, that's in the hands of a human court. So then maybe it means same thing over here. Hashem says, mechato li on something that dino masur l'Adam. So don't try to prove your point by saying li. Esa baya l'rova. Doesn't Avimelech say to God, Hagoy gam tzaddik taharog? I mean, after all, he gam hi amra, that achiv. And it looks like HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually agreed with him, because Hashem said, yes, I too know that betom levavcha. I mean, isn't that clearly mashma? That in this argument, Avimelech argues for Rav Chisda Shita, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to accept it, that he's considered to be putter, because he didn't know. But according to you, what kind of argument is that? You didn't know? You should have found out. Says Rava, you don't know how to understand what that pasuk is saying. Read carefully what the pasuk says, okay? It says, V'ata, so now, I prevented you from sinning, which means you didn't actually copulate with her. So, ata hashev eshet ha'ish kenaviu. Give the man's wife back, because after all, he is a prophet. What? The only reason I'm giving back a wife is because he's a prophet? And if he's not a prophet, that's okay, you can take his wife. I mean, obviously that's not what it means. Eshet navi, who did the other? You only have to give back the wife of a prophet. But if the guy wouldn't have been a prophet, you don't have to give him, that's ridiculous. So what is the reference over here to saying that he's a prophet? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Avimelech, listen here, my dear Avimelech, listen here. The reason that this works out and you are totally wrong and it's only because I saved your rear that you're getting away with this is k'di Omer of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. The Omer of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to say to Avimelech, first of all, give the guy's wife back, okay? That's the first thing, before we discuss this any further. Hashev eshet esh mikomakom. Now, getting back to your ridiculous argument that you are such a fine, upstanding citizen, and how could I ever suspect you? You know, you're no fine, upstanding citizen, the Gamad Hagoy Gam Tzadik Tarog, Halo Hua Marli Achotihi, and so on. This guy is a very smart guy. He happens to be a Navi, and he understands people very well. And he knows how to analyze speech, because he's a Navi. And he heard you say, so, is this your wife? Is this your sister? And he says to himself, Mimcha lamad. He learned straight from your mouth that he has no choice but to claim that she is his sister. And you should have been smart enough to understand that, except that you didn't find out how it is that a person should be spoken to when he comes into the customs, okay? And what he says to himself, If this is a normal country, somebody's arriving in this city. They ask him, can we get you a drink, sir? Is there anything that you would need after your long trip? That's not what they did over here. First thing they think about is sex. That's dangerous. Is this woman your wife? What the heck? What are you asking me if this woman is your wife? Why don't you find out what I have where to stay tonight? Because that's all you're thinking about. So therefore, this is the first thing when you see somebody. That's your first question, right? So he understood that it would be insane for him to say she's my wife, because the next thing he knows, there's a knife up his back. So you were the one that got the wrong information, because you were the one who couldn't figure out how it is you're supposed to speak properly. So you're an Omer Mutter? Ah, Mikan Shebenoach Meherak. On the contrary, you should be killed. Shayala Lamad Velolamad, which is exactly what it was that Rava was saying all along. And now we reach Sir Richard. And this is just at the very moment in Chag HaPesach, where we're celebrating the sword that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to pull out of the ground, that only Sir Richard, Sir Richard. Hi. Yes, indeed. It's King Moshe's matet that was then absolutely stolen away by King Arthur. But we're referring to Sir Richard, the lion-hearted, the only one who was capable of taking that sword out of the ground. Now, who, in terms of their physical body, would go into Golos? Well, Reb Yehuda holds that if someone is blind and he killed Bishogeg, he does not go into Golos. Divrei Reb Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, on the contrary, he is Gola. We're going to see that they actually read the Pasuk in their own unique ways. Now, how about somebody? Remember that we looked at all of the psukim, and it always talks about the question of whether did he lie in wait for him? Does he hate him? Who loves Sonelo Mitmol Shilshom? We have no record of there being any kind of altercations between them. Why is that so important? Because, according to the Tanakhama, has Sone Enogole. If the person is not included in one of those words, or the other pasuk, which we had in the Imbepeta below Eva, so it also says below Eva. So all of that is a Gzeres HaKosov. If there is Eva and it wasn't Bepeta, then there is no Chiyuv of Golos on that person. Rabbi Yossi Omer, on the contrary, what do you mean he's not put into Golos? He's killed, because we assume that if he hated the guy, it's too much of a coincidence that he just happened to drop the stone on this guy's head. That's considered to be the equivalent of a mazid, and that was the point in the pasuk. Rabbi Shimon Omer, now remember that Rabbi Shimon is Doresh Taimed Ikra. So according to him, we have a right to actually think about what would be the point of saying below Eva. It means to tell us that you need to make absolutely certain that in the case where there was some possibility that this person wanted to murder the victim, then you can't put him into Golos. But if you know for a fact that there's no way that he could have arranged this, so then he's like anybody else. Now, if you don't know the Rabbi Shimon, you can't make that analysis of the Pasuk. The Pasuk said below Eva. It's telling you a Gzera Takatuf. It's only when it is below Eva. But according to Rabbi Shimon, Yesh Sone Gole, V'yesh Sone Sheino Gole. It depends on the circumstances. Zeakla, the rule about such circumstances, is that Kol Shu Yochol Omar L'Dat HaRag Eino Gole. If there's any way that in these circumstances, the person might have killed him on purpose, then he's not Gola. But if it's absolutely clear that he could not have done this purposefully, Shalola Datarag, then he would be Gola. So it's not Exer Sakosav without a Tam. It's basically the Pasuk making certain that you understand the differences of the context. So that means that we've got three different shitas here, right? According to the Tanakhama, we are never going to send a sone into Golas. But we're not sure that he killed Bemezid. And as a matter of fact, even where the circumstances are such that he couldn't have arranged this Bemezid, he would still not go into Golas. Whereas Rabbi Yossi said, he is considered to be a mu'ad if he could have been killing the guy purposefully. And Rabbi Shimon says, you look at the context, but even if there's a tzad to say that he's Eino Gola, we're certainly not going to kill him. So these are three different approaches. Let's take a look at the psukim, first of all. Our first machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda was about a suma. Someone is blind. What would be the basis of Rabbi Yehuda Shita that a blind person is potter from Golas? Well, Tanur Rabbanan. It says, after all, in the Pasuk, O b'chol even asher yamut ba b'lo ra'ot. He didn't see anything at all. And that's the pasuk of the Vayapela la Vayamot that we learned it has to be Derech Yeridav Rab according to the Tanakhama. So that would mean, says Rabbi Yehuda, that he has to be a b'lo ra'ot. Now, if he's blind, obviously, he had no choice. There's never a ra'ot. So b'lo ra'ot implies he could have seen but didn't. And since the Sumar could not have seen, he's not included in the story that the Pasuk is giving us about where Golos takes place. So says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, somebody is not muted again. Thank you. Who is it that ate garlic this morning? So then... Rabbi Meir says, on the contrary, b'lo ra'ot means a person who cannot see. And of course, we'll have to see where we get that from. So if he can't see, it means that he is the case that we're talking about. That is the rabotat asuman. On the contrary, it is concluded in the pasuk, the dafka. Now, so what are they really arguing about then? They both see the pasuk. How do they come to these opposite conclusions? Because Rabbi Yehuda says, look, the story, remember, the whole story is once upon a time, someone walked into the forest to cut some trees. I mean, that whole thing was crazy, right? So we were medayik that that narrative is important in defining. It was just like the Yars Rishus and so on. So here too, when it says Asher Yavo et Re'eu Bayar, that means a person walked in. It doesn't give us any kind of limitations. A person that is capable of coming into the forest. That would include even a suma, because he doesn't have to see. He's got very good hearing. He has extreme sensitivities that his other senses have made up for his lack of vision. And therefore, he could certainly go for a walk in the forest carefully. So that means we're talking even about a suma. So then the point of saying b'lo ra'ot is coming now to say that it's not to include the suma, because we know that already. So it must be coming, Dafka, to say he needed to be able to see. In other words, the alternative modalities by which a suma can identify the presence of another person. That's what it really has to do with, obviously. It's not just a question whether you can come into a forest. The suma can be aware of the fact that someone is in such and such a location by simply picking up the sounds of his walking or echoes and so on and so forth. So now the question is that sufficient to be mechayev him or does he actually need to get the more exact location that would be provided by sight? So according to Rev Yehuda, the Valora Oath means that if he doesn't have that potential of precisely identifying where it is that the person is, then you cannot consider him to be chayev for what comes afterwards. He only had a general idea compared to the sighted person. And that's the point. How much do we take into consideration of the knowledge of the context in order to be mechayev yugolas? Mashenkin, according to Rabbi Meir, yes, it's true. Belora ot, I agree, definitely seems to be saying what it is that Reb Yehuda is saying. I agree to that. However, I am saying that you are forgetting that there's a long story over here because it also says the Zed Var HaRotzeach at the end of the story. Zed Var HaRotzeach Asher Yanus Shoma V'choy Asher Yakeh Et Re'ehu Bivli Da'at. That's where it says V'hu Lo Soneh Lo Mitbo Shilshon. What does Bivli Da'at mean? So Bivli Da'at means that the person does not have full awareness. And he could have had, but he didn't have it here. But a blind person does not have that ability to precisely pinpoint, and therefore he would have already been excluded from the Bivli Da'at. Therefore, I'm saying that the fact that we have two psukim that stress the Belora Ot and the Bivli Da'at is a miut achar miut. Ve'en miut achar miut, ela l'rabot. So what it's saying is, therefore, don't think that the meaning of the Belora Ot is the need to precisely identify and to be able to zero in on that person, in which case that would be what Bivli Da'at would have meant. So obviously, we're saying either you weren't aware, it didn't register, or you didn't have the physical ability to zero in. That doesn't matter. If you didn't have it, you still should have made certain by asking somebody else or whatever. And therefore, you're included in the dinim of the galut. So memela, since it's a double miut, it's marba. Now, let me just take a look at Reb Yehuda. Because what does Reb Yehuda now understand, actually, with the Bivli Da'at? Rabbi Meir is making a good point. How does he explain Bivli Da'at? He says that is coming, as we said, prat lemitkaven hudiata. So remember we said before that Bivli Da'at would be with prat lemitkaven. And over there we said prat lemitkaven to be hurig, let's say, a behema, and instead he kills a person. That was the diak that we had made before. Because mitkaven is ein. It's not just intent. So in Rabbi Yehuda, Nishita, there's only one miut legabe, a person who's blind, because mitkaven has nothing to do with the issue of how well he's able to pinpoint another person's position. Rabbi Yossi Omer hasone neherag. How can Rabbi Yossi say that just because the guy hates him and the context looks like he tried to murder him, that because of that will kill? What about hatra'ah? Don't we need hatra'ah? The fact that we know clearly that someone murdered someone is not enough for us to carry out a din of misa against him. You need hatra'ah. So how does this help? That's what we said before, remember? This Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi by Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, before we were talking about, remember we asked the stira between Rabbi Yossi and that Mishnah and Rabbi Yossi here. We said that this is Rabbi Yossi by Rabbi Yehuda. And we reiterate that. It's not Rabbi Yossi by Chalafta that we spoke about earlier. It's Rabbi Yossi by Rabbi Yehuda, D'Tanya. Rabbi Yossi by Yehuda, Imer. Chaver eno tzarich hatra'ah. Someone who is fully aware of the situation because he's a big Talmud Chacham, you don't have to give him hatra'ah. You know that he knows perfectly well that what he's doing is aser. Lefisha lo nitna hatra'ah, ela lafin ben shogeg lemesid. So if you're like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, everything works out fine. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, says, it depends on the circumstances. So how would we know what type of circumstances preclude the possibility of mazed. So Tanya, Ketzer Amar Rabbi Shimon, Yesh Sane Goleh, Yesh Sane Sheno Goleh. Can you give me like examples of what the case would be? Well, yeah, let's talk about a case where we had the case in the Mishnah. He's lowering a barrel, right? And what would be if the rope breaks? Now, if the rope breaks, that is not something that he could have caused by remote control. If the rope slips, that he certainly could have controlled, and therefore very suspicious. He lost his grip just as his big business competitor passed underneath the barrel. Well, sometimes luck works in your favor. No, in that case, we believe that he actually killed him. So if it's nifsak goleh, if it's nishmat, if it fell out of his hand, then eno goleh. Ask the Gemara, what do you do with this braita? Vatanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, nobody ever goes into galut unless ad yishamet machatzalom yado. Now here we're talking about a case where he's not using a ma'agilah, he's using a machatzalom. Rashi says, speaking in English, a machatzalom is a trowel. So a trowel, in other words. So the guy, it's the same idea. He's using a trowel, and nothing broke, only slipped. So, but if something would break, then that would not be considered to be a korov, that would be a real shogeg. Because if it just broke, then it's more like an ones. So now that means we got two contradictions, right? I mean, kasha nifsak nifsak, v'kasha nishmat nishmat. I mean, we were saying that the only time that you would be chayev is if it broke. And if it slipped, you would be putter. And here it says, if it slipped, that's the only time that you're chayev. And if it broke, that's the only time that you're putter. So it's a complete opposite. Answers the Gemara, the correct Yirsa, nishmat anishmat lokasha. You cannot compare the two cases, because we just said there's going to be a big difference between an oev and a sone. So the second brisa, which says that you're chayev, if it slipped out of your hand, that is talking about where the person is an ohev, not a sone. Whereas the first brisa, that says you will not go into golus in such a case, is talking about exactly as it says. In the case of the sone, we assume that he actually didn't lose his grip, he loosened his grip. And nifsak and nifsak is also lokasha, because remember the machlokas in the Mishnah between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. So the braita that says you're never going to be chayev in the case where something breaks. But that's what Rebbe said. Rebbe said, if the top of the axe flies off the handle, you're not chayev. Same thing just over here. If the rope breaks, you're not chayev. But this braita that says if the rope breaks, you would be chayev, that would be going according to the Rabbanan. That's the first braita. And they're the ones who said in the earlier Mishnah that if the axe breaks off of the which is the same here as the barrel breaking off, if it breaks, then you would be actually chayev. I'm thinking, shall we? I think we should go further. It's very simple, this last piece. It's chaval to fall behind. Let's just go through this. This mission is mamish, very straightforward, very clear, and doesn't involve very much thinking. Leichan golim. Now let's talk about where we're talking, going into galut. What does that mean? Where does a person go into galut? Le'are miklat. There are three of these Are Miklat in Eivar HaYarden, and there are three of these Are Miklat in Eretz Yisrael proper, and the Gemara is going to ask later on what happened to the other Arba'im V'shtayim Are Leviim, which are also mentioned as being given to Miklat. Fine, we'll talk about that later. There's obviously a difference between the major six and the additional 42, and we'll try to discover what the difference is in terms of the klita. So, even though Moshe Rabbeinu selected the Shalosh Arim that were in Eivar HaYarden, because he said, Mitzvah Shebali Yati, I'm not going to leave it for Yoshua. I'll do what I can of the Mishnah. But those three cities did not work. Ad shelo nifcharu shalosh be'eretz Yisrael, lo ayu shalosh be'ever ha'yarden koltot. Until you had all six cities, which means that for the 14 years in which the wars were going on, and then the legal wars of the Jews were going on to decide who gets what, you could just imagine, take a look at the Torahs we got today. So we got 7 years of fighting Hamas, and then another 7 years of working out the legalities, Lord help us. Anyway, so that was 14 years. Before those three cities were finally selected, because, you know, everybody was saying, no, not my neighborhood, and so on. So actually, the three that were in Eivar HaYarden didn't work either, because the Torah says, Sheish Arei Miklat Tihyena. There have to be six, meaning you need all six for the others to be operative. So Ad Yush Sheshtan Kol Tor Ka'achad. There have to be six operating Arei Miklat in order for them to be useful. U'mechuvanot lehem drachim mizo lezo. Not only that, but we had superhighways that were put down, as we'll see, as it says in the Pasuk, Shenemar Tachin Lecha HaDerech. And furthermore, it says Vishilashta. So that means that we had to have had a road system that was easily accessible, that would take you directly to the closest Ir Miklat, and that is part of the mitzvah on Besdin. Now, in the case, the Rambam learns that this case is referring to where we brought him back, found out that his din was to go to Golis, and it says over there that the Beis Din should bring him back to his city. So that's Veshivoha Eida. So in order to do that, we give him some legal help so that Shnei Talmidei Chachomim were sent along with him on his way back to the Ir Miklat if he's Chayev, in order to argue if the Goel Adam comes and attempts to kill him before he gets into the Miklat. Then the Talmidei Chachamim are there in order to dissuade him and to explain to him that he didn't do it on purpose and that he's heading towards a near Miklat and he should not be killed. Shemayar Geno Baderech. They might get him before he gets to the Miklat. Via Dabruelov. They have to talk the murderer, or I should say the Goel Adam, not a murderer. They should speak to the Goel Adam. Rabbi Meir Oimer. Now there's two different shitas. Did Rabbi Meir say, Af hu medaber al yedei atzmo? Or did Rabbi Meir say, Hu medaber al yedei atzmo? Meaning that according to Rabbi Meir, we did not send him legal help. He can talk for himself. Hu medaber al yedei atzmo? And that's why it says in the Pasuk, Vizet devar harotzeach. So that means the rotzeach is called upon to protect himself in cases where we've got the person who is now trying to kill him as the Goel Hadam. All right, now, the truth is that we've got many different levels, therefore, places, and we're going to, when we see finally the end of the sugya, we'll see that we have five different levels here in certain cases where the Goel Hadam can kill him, where the Goel Hadam does not have a right to kill him, the Goel Hadam has a mitzvah to kill him, and so on and so forth. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudaimer, Bitchila, look, in the first place, somebody kills. It doesn't matter whether he killed on purpose or he kills b'shogeg echad shogeg echad meizid. First thing he does is get to that Ir Miklat without any kind of hesitation. That's the only way you will be protected. Then Beis Din sends, they bring you from the Ir Miklat to the Beis Din. If it turns out that you were chayav misa, and you had done it b'mezid, and they examined the whole case, obviously, with tatra and so on. So then, if he was in it chayav mita b'beit din, so they would obviously kill him. If he wasn't chayav misa, then if it was an actual case of karav la'onus, they would pater him. If he was chayav golus, then machzirino toli mekomo, shenema v'heshivu oto eida el ir miklato. So they bring him back, send him back to the Ir Miklat. So basically, let me just read to you the way the Rambam paskins the stages of the din. So he says we have three different possibilities of what is called horgin belo kavana. There's such a thing as a horeg b'shkaga and v'ha'alama gemura. That is asher lo tzita dina shigalelo arei miklat v'yinatzel. Okay, so that's the basic case. Then there's a case of a horeg where the shigaga is korov la'ones, which means she'ira b'mitat zum ma'orar pela she'eno matzui b'rova ma'orot. This is a totally unexpected kind of accident. V'dino shu patur min hagalut. And in that event, if it's korov la'ones, if the Goel Adam kills this guy, the Goel Adam is a straight-out murderer, and the Goel Adam will be ne'arag alav. But then we have the opposite. We have a horeg b'shkaga, where the shkaga is korov l'mezit. V'hu shi'eh b'davar k'mo p'shiyah. It's like gross negligence. Sh'ayolo v'zayer v'lo nizar. In that case, eino gole, because the ovon is too chamur, v'ein galut mechaperet lo. And the orein miklat can only be kotot someone who is chayev golas. So it won't help him, even, to go to an ir miklat. It will not protect him. And therefore, im mitza'o goel adam b'chol mokom, v'horago patur. Wherever the goel adam finds him, even in the ir miklat, he can kill him, and he would be patur. So what's a guy supposed to do if it was korov l'mezit? Ma yaseh? Let him hire bodyguards. Yeshev yishmor atzmo b'goel adam. Now, if he's a rotzeach, maybe there was only one witness. Shargu be'edachat. The din clearly is that if the Goel Adam kills them, he's also putter, because why would they be more chomur vis-a-vis the Goel Adam? Lo yu'elu chamurim mi'ahoreg belo kavana. Okay, so that means that the Rambam's got the four cases besides the ultimate case of someone who was chayev b'mezid with atra'ah. We've got these four different dargas, and it will make a difference whether you're going to have klita or not have klita, or make a difference whether the Goel Adam does kill the person when he's not near miklat, whether he would be chayev misa or whether he would be putter. Tana Rabbana, the shalosh orim hivdil Moshe be'ever hayardim, uchenegdan hivdil Yehoshua be'eretz Kinaan. So there were three cities that were set up, actually juxtaposed geographically, the ones in Eretz Yisrael and the ones in Eiver HaYarden. Umechuvanot hayu k'mishtei shirot shebekeren. It's the same way that you grow your vines in a vineyard, where they're positioned not randomly along a row, but each row, the vines in that row are positioned juxtaposed to the vine in the next row on either side. And that's exactly what we had over here. So the six total cities were Hebron, and that, just taking Hebron, Hebron was in Yehuda, of course, in the middle of Eretz Yisrael. That was Kneged Betzer in the Midbar, meaning in Eiver HaYarden. Shechem, that's in Har Ephraim, and that was facing Ramot in Gilad, which is the Eiver HaYarden. Kedesh in Naphtali, that was Keneged, the city Golan in the Bashan. That gives us the six cities placed like a vineyard. And when it says Vishilashta, as we quoted just that last word in the Pasuk, so we use the word Vishilashta et Gvul Artzecha, Asher Yanchilcha Hashem Elokecha, So what that's referring to is splitting things equally, is what it seems to be saying. Shilashta, split it into three parts. So what would that mean? Well, now the Mishnah says something that doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, the Gemara says something that doesn't seem to make much sense. It says, Sheyu Meshulashim, that they would be spaced in a way that there were three divisions giving you equal access. And now it starts saying something that is not equal access. because it says, Sheyehemi Daron leChevron, Kimi Chevron leShrem. So that means you're at the southern border. The distance from the southern border to Chevron is the equivalent of the distance from Chevron to the next city north, which is Shrem. But that's crazy, because that means that you could be twice as far from an Ir Miklat if you live in the south. So let's say you're in Eilat, the distance for Richie to run to an Ir Miklat would be you'd have to get all the way to Chevron. But if you're living in Chevron, or you're living in between Chevron and Shrem, you could run half of that distance to get to either Chevron or Shrem. So it does not seem to be consistent. It's saying Vishilashta, and then it tells us to do something that's not Vishilashta. The Gemara is going to ask this question. So from Chevron to Shrem is the same as Shrem to Kedesh, and from Shrem to Kedesh is the same as from Kedesh to the northern border, which makes no sense again, because then that means there's double the distance for a person who is at the far border to the north or to the south than it would be for someone who's living in the middle of the country. So, but there's something else that doesn't make sense, says the Gemara. How could you say that in Eva, how many Shvatim were in Eva Hayarde? 2.5 Shvatim. And you're giving the same number of Ari Miklat to service a population of 2.5 Shvatim as the rest of the whole Eretz Yisrael? So Be'ever HaYarden Tlat, just there, and in Eretz Yisrael, it's enough to have 3? Does that really make sense? Omer Abaye, yeah, it makes sense. That's because in Gilad, which is the Be'ever HaYarden on the east bank, Shchichei Rotzchim, there's murderers are very common there. Dichtiv Gilad Kiryat Poalei Aven Akuba Midam. It's a city of terrible people who lie in wait. Or this is what we're going to darshan it. Akuba Midam means that they're wallowing in blood. It means how you okvim bidam, that they would wait for people, trace them to know when they would be able to kill them and take their money or whatever, or you okvim la'arog nefashot. So because of that, it was a place that required more Ari Miklat per population. Now, of course, the obvious question is that murder is not what the Ari Miklat are for. It's for accidents that we have Ari Miklat. So how can Gemara justify the need for 3 Ari Miklat because there's more murderers? But that's not what our question was. Our question was accidents. And of course, this is the Maral's beautiful explanation, although must say there's some give other explanations, but this is, I believe, Emes Lamite. If there's murder, there's more accidents. So basically, if you define morality downwards, it's like Arab drivers. Arab drivers are always going to get into accidents. Why? Because they're murderers. And therefore, life has no value. And therefore, they couldn't care less even if they smash up themselves, basically. There's no sense of life's importance. So obviously, there's going to be more accidents. See it all the time. And because of that, we can bring a raya from Akuba Midam to the fact that you need more. Okay, I would like to get up to the Tuleka, but I feel bad. I'm keeping you too long. Okay, this is good for a start. All right, everyone. Chagim uzmanim lesason. Coming up, Bezrat Hashem, to more happiness. See you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow morning for Zoche at the same time. Maybe a better station. Why say same station? We're looking forward to better all the time. Kol Tov.